Truly, truly, Batman, it's really exciting.
Bruce Wayne, Esquire?
I'm Batman.
I am the Prince.
Welcome to Superstitious and Cowardly, a Batman podcast for the warden us all. I am John Pfeiffer.
And I'm Chris Winia.
How do you feel about that intro line, the warden us all? Because I can't think of anything better.
I'm not a fan, but I also can't think of anything, so I guess we're keeping it until...
It's like that dog that just kind of shows up at your house. Like, someone just brings it over, and it's like, guess you're my dog now, okay.
I don't think that's really something that happens that often.
That's how we got my dog. My wife brought it over, it's like, yeah, we're going to take care of it for a little while, and if someone else wants it, they can... We'll rehome it, and then we just ended up keeping her.
You'll rehome it? Is that an actual
problem? Well, her parents would take the dog. Basically, I threw the warden us all as a deaf dog that only a few people want.
Maybe when we actually release these episodes and we have something of a community, we can change it. But for right now, it's going to stay for a couple episodes. Cry about it. Well, first off the top, I should thank you for coming back after the pilot, which is a bit of a Frankenstein. It's a little stitched together, so.
It's like a Rosemary's Baby kind of scenario. No one really wants it.
Well, didn't everybody want Rosemary's Baby to happen?
Never watched it, actually.
Yeah, because
I should
refrain
from Rosemary Baby references.
Yeah, because the doctor is in on it. That's like one of the famous lines from it. Everybody wanted that baby except for Rosemary.
That's the opposite.
Yeah.
So, you're
so as you can see, we're on track for our second episode already, but we're not re-recording this one.
No, we're gonna do a first take kind of scenario.
Yeah, which is actually, we just went with the first take of the pilot too, so that was pointless.
For the most part, yeah. But you were talking about our third co-host who is absent right now.
Yeah, Ryan Fuchs, who couldn't make either of those recordings or this one, but I'm sure he'll come up in the next recording.
He's a fairly dependable person. Yeah. I think he's responsible.
Yeah, he just couldn't make the drive yet, so.
Actually, can you describe the premise of our podcast?
Yeah, there's really not that much to do. We talk about Batman comics. That's pretty much it. We're just...
Yes.
Right now, we're currently in the 40s. We're going to talk about Detective Comics 28 and probably 29. And if there's enough time, maybe 30? We'll see about that.
Possibly. But you did point out something that I kind of like that I haven't heard in a lot of Batman podcasts necessarily, is we're going to actually talk about some older stuff, at least for a brief amount of time in the duration of our podcast. And then, you know, of course, we'll move on to later years and everything. But I think we'll spend some time in those nuggets that people don't always... They'll talk about, but they don't spend a terrible amount of time on it. So we'll spend a little bit more on that.
Yeah, we're gonna do the first year until Robin shows up, and then kind of skip to kind of new beginnings.
Yeah.
In different eras,
which I'm actually kind of excited for, because that's a lot of stuff that I haven't read yet.
Yeah.
In my own adventures of reading Batman. This is Detective Comics number 28. To put it simply, we're just gonna kind of summarize. I'm gonna try something different. I want to kind of summarize the issue, and then we can kind of dive in and pick it apart and everything. So in this issue, Batman is simply out to stop a jewelry gang in the area. The gang tries to eliminate the Batman, and then, of course, the Caped Crusader prevails. So that's the issue in a nutshell. And it's only six pages, so it's really a quick read.
What was the name of the leader of the jewelry gang?
Fuck you, because I decided to say jewelry gang because I had to very slowly... Like I was on Hooked on Phonics, say the Frenchie Blake Gang, because it's like a tongue twister for me, and I can't say the Frenchie Blake Gang any faster than that.
To describe Frenchie, he looks like a stereotypical Frenchman, so it's probably a slur.
He's got like a kind of weird smoking jacket, he's got a really thin mustache.
He's got the pencil mustache that we'd associate with Alfred.
A little bit. He's like an evil Alfred kind of look to him, or how we see Alfred now, anyway.
The police are also a fan of his because they call him Dapper at the end of the issue.
They do. The police really seem to start falling.
Holy shit!
Batman.
The police in this are so easily impressed too.
So let's talk about the very beginning of the issue. So we open up with a little Dead Sea Scrolls introduction to the Batman, saying, "Hey, Batman's Bruce Wayne, if you didn't know." And he's totally out to stop some jewelry robbers. And then we open up with this adorable little newsie trying to sling some newspapers. And if you could just read that word for word, that little spiel that he has there.
Well, it's one of these things, and I'm not entirely sure if we talked about this last issue. Again, I don't remember which one we're going to use.
You don't know if it's terrible spelling or if it's how they're just writing it how someone would say it?
Oh, no, he's being a dick to this kid.
Oh, okay.
That's, yeah, because he starts out with extry, which is something that I'm not sure... Anybody's ever... getting ready for this issue.
I really wanted to do that. It was one of my favorite tropes.
So, he starts out saying extry, which is one of those things that, like, media... I'm not sure if anybody ever actually said that. Extry, extry. And then they talk about...
It's something like you see in, like, a brief, like, Nickelodeon, like,
Oh, it'd be in fucking Newsies.
Yeah, it'd be in Newsies, like the little brief little theater things, yeah.
So he starts out and he says that there's a jewel robbery, but he says J-O-O-L.
It's a jewel robbery.
And I'm not entirely sure if... It's hard to tell because they kind of credit everything to Robert Caine in the beginning.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird to see
put on there,
Robert Caine.
I don't know if he actually wrote this or if he drew this or what. I know that...
I could have sworn Bill Finger was in the beginning in terms of writing and Bob Caine was art.
No, I think that Bill was a drawer, wasn't he?
You know what? This is a perfect time to plug our email. If you want to send any hate mail to us at all, you can send it to sac@alfred.alfred@gmail.com. And any hate mail can go in there so we can freely ignore it at will. But...
We don't do a lot of research for this.
No, because last time we talked about Batman debuting in 1937, and then we were like 2 years off entirely.
It was 39? Okay, good. So anyway, so like, this is just Bob Caine being a dick. It's like, this kid speaks horribly, so he says Jewel, but he spells it wrong.
And Wextry.
And Wextry. So, like, he's just pointing out this kid is poorly educated.
I really want it to be, he had a relationship with a local, like, newspaper kid. Like, the kid's like, hey, I know what your job is. Could you draw me one of your comics?
Could you put me into one of the pictures?
And he's like, sure, but I'm going to be an asshole to you. It's like a monkey's paw.
Oh, don't do that to
It's like a monkey's paw kind of scenario.
Ever since I went on the cold, I've been so ever sick. Please let me be in your comics.
It's the only job he can do after being kicked out of the mines.
Can I be some type of sidekick for your comics? I'm so very sick. I could be a part-time little kid that just gives you informations.
So I want to be that monkey paw scenario really bad, but that's only like the first panel.
Yeah, let's go
so
on.
So we should probably move on.
Let's go on to Bruce Wayne harassing a convict and pretty much sending him to jail.
Pretty much. Bruce Wayne knows that Commissioner Gordon has a few stool pigeons around, which I kind of like that term, and also it's kind of weird, but I'll move on.
You've never heard stool pigeon before?
I've heard stool pigeon before, but to actually see it be used unironically...
John's a dirty stoolie.
Yeah, I am. I would... snitches get stitches, and I have a lot of stitches.
Yeah, but basically that's what Bruce is doing to this poor guy.
He pretends
to be Gordon, and he's like, hey, give me the information, or I'm gonna fucking put you back in jail. Really? Because the jewelry gang is spelled J-O-O-L, is gonna... fucking kill me if I tell that stuff to him. Well, I don't care.
But he says that there's going to be a robbery. It's going to be at a certain location, and Batman's sitting up there waiting for him on the roof. But I really want to stop real quick because I think it's important to recognize the name of the stool pigeon. The stool pigeon's name is Gimpy.
You made a joke about that in the last episode, perhaps. All right, let's not go on that anymore.
No, I want to talk about Gimpy.
Gimpy.
Why would you... Either they're making fun of somebody... Or his name's legitimately Gimpy, and that's a poor life choice.
But at the same time, he's very well informed.
He is. Like, you think he's low level. Like, how would he know the location?
He's not even in the gang.
He's not.
Batman, and this happens later on in the issue, Batman is very well informed on this gang as it is.
He finds out the location without actually...
doing anything.
Questioning anybody. It's like it's a magical detective work.
So let's get on to that. What happens when he runs into them criminals on the roof?
So he's waiting for the criminals on the roof, because that's how they're going to escape. That totally makes sense. They're not going to go out the front door, pretend like they're, you know, maintenance workers or anything reasonable.
If you rob a building at night, you have to go
I can't
out
even
the
tell
roof.
If this is night. I kind of thought this was day a little
actually,
bit.
Actually, it does look like
it
night.
It looks like it's daylight. But Batman...
Raisin they are.
But Batman's on the roof. He's waiting for our robbers. And as soon as he sees them, he jumps up from a higher position somewhere, which I'm not sure where that is. But he jumps and just kicks somebody in the back of the head with both feet. And when he lands on the ground... One of the other robbers, because there's two robbers on the roof, comes at him with the ever-silent knife. And I really like how they phrase that in the panel. The ever-silent knife. That's to not draw attention.
It's like he's trying to like teach a younger generation of criminals. It's like, don't use a gun, guys. A knife is very silent.
It's kind of like a weird Obi-Wan scenario. Yeah. Like, hey, blast can be messy. A knife, though.
A knife.
That's pretty great.
It's very elegant.
So
and
but he runs at Batman with the knife, and Batman just positions his feet like on his chest and kicks him over the roof. So this is like second confirmed death, like automatically.
Well, like we kind of had a debate about that last time, but this one he straight up murders the dude.
Yeah, the first one, because that was
the first one you could kind of argue it away. Nope, he straight up murders this fool.
Yeah, this is what, at least six stories up, most likely.
Yeah, he's dead.
Second robber sees this and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna have to pull a gun. It doesn't matter if the police come. I'm kind of screwed. So Batman, as soon as the guy pulls the gun, Batman just punches him automatically. And it's this panel, actually, where you see him punch the robber in a weird proportion. Like, I don't know where his legs go and his chest is, if you look at that, actually.
Oh, yeah, that guy's tiny.
That guy has a tiny torso, but super long legs, like two people stitched together.
Like a big spider.
Right? But when I notice he punched that guy, those don't look like gloves, do they? Those look like bare hands. He's in this whole issue barehanded. So either he's roughing up them hands, not protecting them, which really isn't a smart choice for somebody who's supposed to be the world's greatest detective. We're working on that. Or or he's leaving a bunch of evidence possibly behind, or, you know, on his hands or anything.
He just lost his cute little purple gloves.
He lost his cute little purple gloves. He's like, I'm late to the robbery. I'm late to the robbery.
So this starts the thread of the episode, which is, issue, which is that Batman...
Actually, I'm going to go back to calling these issues episodes, because there's no way I'm going to be able to keep that straight on a regular basis.
Batman's ingenious plot of the episode, where he wants, for some reason, the police to think that he's the leader of the gang, except step one was kill one of them and knock one of them out, probably to be arrested.
And I kind of like this, where apparently Batman's on the roof waiting, just holding the jewelries in a weird position, and the cops finally come, and he's like, hey guys, totes don't need these jewels, bye, and he leaps off the roof while the cops have a gun drawn on him, and he does some wicked sick flips, and he lassos off of one level of the roof, he jumps from one level of the roof, lands on another level of the roof, and then he lassos his way across to a roof across the street. And the very next section, the cops are like, man, he got away real cool. He killed a guy, but, oh, he's dreamy.
Whoa, that's great.
He's Batman.
As we know, flipping in midair it makes it so you don't break your legs.
I like sweet flips, and it's a silk rope, so you know it's durable.
Very nice silk rope. Only the best from Bruce Wayne.
So the cops automatically think that Batman's in on the gang. And the very next day,
which makes no fucking sense.
You think there'd be an altercation, like, here's the jewels, I don't need them, here's some bad guys. So they...
And the bad guy is, what is he gonna say? Oh, so Batman's part of your crew, huh? He's like, he fucking punched me, of course he's not part of my crew.
So maybe, that's an interesting point, maybe that guy was kind of smart enough to throw a little bit of blame off of the rest of his gang or something.
I doubt it, though.
I want that to be a reasonable thing.
Okay. John likes to,
I like the headcanon a lot.
He likes the canon. I
headcanon all day, every day. And,
I'm sure we'll get into that later.
We will.
So it's big enough that the newspapers, it's front line, by the way.
It is.
Main headline.
It's the main headline on the newspaper, and it says Batman, because we're still in that section of Batman being hyphenated in a weird way, and I want that to end so very badly. But
it's Batman speaks, folks.
It kind of is for me. It's Batman, head of the Jewel Gang, eludes capture by spectacular leap. The only people only people that know that are the cops. So the cops are totally like giving away details for an ongoing investigation. So really professional there, which is really great. So we have Frenchie Blake is reading the newspaper that has this spectacular headline on it.
Dapper Frenchie
and
Blake.
He is very dapper. He has a monocle. He has a pencil mustache. He has a goatee. A very nice smoking jacket.
It's definitely a smoking jacket.
He is very well put together. I mean, if he was hitting on 16-year-old girls, I'd be thinking that he had a little bit of money.
I'm not entirely sure what that's supposed to mean, but we're going to move that aside. So Batman's whole plan was that, thinking that he was in charge of the jewelry robberies, that he would take, that the gang would think, oh, great, so all the spotlight's going to be off of us, and so we could just commit crimes, and they'll think they're going to be looking for the Batman.
And that's actually a plausible, at least somewhat plausible thought of, hey, we're going to let him take the heat.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have stopped anything. They're still jewel robbers. And Batman already knows where their headquarters is because he's just standing outside listening to them.
He finds it. He's hanging out there. And I assume it's daylight still. And he's just hanging out there like a cat that doesn't like Mondays. And it's just like, be strong, guy. You got this. It's going to be great. So Batman hears all their plans. They're going to keep on robbing. And Batman already knows the location.
But he could stop them right now.
He could.
There's no reason to go on.
He could have went through the front door, did a couple knocks, and busted, the four people? He's busted that many people before.
Jeez, yeah.
It's overly complicated. He apparently needs more evidence. Maybe that's what he thinks he needs.
His plan is so stupid.
It is. It really is.
It gets worse, too, so let's go on.
All right. So the jewel route, later on, Smash kind of cuts to a new scene where there are two jewel robbers from Frenchie Blake's gang. Frenchie Blake isn't there, but his two other associates are. And Batman...
And they decide to do a stupid thing, which is they go, it's a good thing Batman isn't here tonight.
That's pretty much asking for it.
Of course Batman's going to be there tonight. All right,
so this is the late 30s. Even then, you knew from radio programs or movies or anything.
Serious.
You don't, like, actually call somebody out and then not expect them to be around.
It's not even that. It's like, Batman has proven that he's doing something. Of course he's going to be there.
They should be suspicious.
They should be hiding out for just a little bit. Superstitious shit. Okay, go on.
So basically, these robbers are at the location, and at that very moment, Batman swings from one roof into the building in the very same room that these two robbers are in. One, that window's open, so that was good luck. He didn't die. That was pretty cool. Two, he actually made it through that window, because that's got to be hard to predict. I mean, that's not a big area to go through.
It was very nice that they opened the window for him.
Three, that guy was just standing there. That was like perfect timing. How do you figure that out? Either this is the world's greatest detective or the world's luckiest man. So immediately after he kicks one of the robbers, another robber comes in and they're starting to duke it out. Batman subdues him, which is great. And then with the world's tiniest hands, he dials Gordon and says, "Hey, Gordon, this is totally the Batman. And I got some guys over here that might interest you. Bye."
You know that famous Joe Roberts and I'm in all the papers.
Yeah, the ones that you guys think I'm connected with. Tote's not me. You have no reason to believe me, but Tote's not me. And
Gordon's like, "I don't believe you. Do a flip while you're on the phone." And he does a flip, and he's like,
"Oh my God.
Jesus Christ, I could hear how nice that was."
So later you see Batman leave in Bruce Wayne's sedan again. Was just something that we're going to see for a little while.
I love how that sedan...
That blows
your fucking mind.
It blows my mind. You'll see more in the next two pages. Sedans everywhere. So it smash cuts again to the apartment of Frenchie Blake.
Dapper Frenchie
Blake. Dappy Frenchie. See, Dappy. I can't do it. Dappy.
He's a cartoon character from the 40s.
And he hears a knock while he's, playing solitaire on a weird table. He hears a knock, and he's like, "Is that you boys?" And Batman says, "Yeah, let us in." Because apparently his crew doesn't have a key or access or anything. They just knock. Like, when I go home and the door's, locked or anything, I don't pull up my keys. I just knock for my wife just in case she's home.
So Batman basically just throws him out a fucking window.
Pretty much.
And lets him hang.
He busts the door down. He's like, "Hey, you're out of window now. You can write this confession for me, and I'll totally let you up." So he's forcing a confession, which is totally admissible in court.
But at the same time, it's like, you don't need to have him write a confession.
No.
And also, he takes him out of the window to get the confession, and the guy's like, "Okay, here's your confession. And fuck you," and he jumps on him.
He jumps on him, but the Batman's already shown that he don't take no shit.
So he punches him again, and so finally...
"Please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. One punch. One punch." And he is good.
And it's only one punch, because, he threw him out a fucking window earlier.
He should be definitely
afraid. He should be
kind
of scared right now.
Right? So Batman drives up to police HQ after he subdues Frenchie Blake. He pulls up to police HQ, pulls Frenchie Blake out of Batman's sedan.
Did you hear that?
She did not like that.
It's because her jewels got stolen by him last week.
Ooh. But he pulls Frenchie out of Batman's sedan, or Bruce Wayne's sedan, right out of the trunk. Pulls him right out.
The police are watching the car drive away. They could take the plate.
Police are just like, "Huh.
It's that famous jewel robber that's in all the papers.
Should we rush out?" No. He's grabbed something out of the truck. He's going to be in the mess.
Yeah, but he did a figure eight in his car. They're like, "That's so cool. Let's let him go."
He's just doing some donuts. Man, Batman's doing donuts and Bruce Wayne's sedan. He's going to be pissed when he finds out.
"Chief, come out here. See what's happening. Last time I went out there, nothing."
Pretty much. So, good for you.
Okay, bye.
Usually it's me. So basically, Frenchie Blake is dropped off at police HQ with a note from Batman and the written confession. And it says, "Dear Commissioner, I thought you might like to have the leader of the Jewel Gang also leaving this confession and stolen jewels, because I didn't have anything to do with it, and you can just believe me." Signed, the Batman. It does the whole, "Till we meet again next Detective
he
Comics."
He has the jewels. That's evidence enough. So this whole issue was stupid.
It is.
We're not on to a good start.
It is, but at the same time, it's fun because it's bad. It's not bad, it's fun bad for me.
I suppose that's true. So let's move on to 29. And where we meet a suspicious man named Dr. Death.
So let's talk about Detective Comics number 29. So the basic idea is there is a guy that has developed poison out of plants. He tries to threaten people. If they don't pay up, he will kill them. And he already has the moniker Dr. Death, so he was already set up to be a supervillain, and Batman will eventually stop him.
We've also just basically described the Joker's first appearance, too, which we'll get to pretty quick.
You're not wrong.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I want to talk about art just a little bit more than we have the last couple of times we talked about issues. So, front cover is featuring Batman very prominently this time as opposed to like the last time. It was just a different story and detective that they were talking about. But Batman is swinging through a big old window with metal grates and everything. It's apparently a castle, which you don't see later on. Which is not in
the story.
It is not. And he is obviously smaller than the guy that he's kicking when he swings through the window. Like, he looks like the Incredible Shrinking Man. Like, it doesn't quite...
It's basically like Batman was like, sense. Oh, Jesus. I don't want to swing in there alone. Let's grab a small child and make him dress up like Batman and swing through.
Kinda. And then, you know, it shows the henchman that he's kicking, and then it shows what is presumed to be
he's also our villain, Dr. Death. Silent knife.
He has a silent knife. An ever silent knife.
An ever holy knife. Always calm. Always bright.
So you see Dr. Death.
Dr. Death.
Dr. Death is, you know, startled and everything.
Beakers in hand.
He has beakers. He has his monocle, which is a common theme so far.
You sandbagged the shit out of that.
I did?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I kept doing a Silent Night parody while you were talking. Go on.
So Dr. Death has his monocle that's embedded in his eye. Monocles are a thing now. The last couple
this
of issues.
This is the second in a row that has had a monocle.
This is the second in a row. And also, if you look, he has like a weird ear. Like, he looks like he's like some magical wood elf or something like that. He's very demonic.
Yeah, I guess it's definitely supposed to denote demonic. It's kind of like how they thought that, like, in the 60s, Spock from Star Trek, they didn't like him having the pointed ears because they thought that it showed him being a devil worshiper.
I figured it was the mascara and makeup that he's wearing that made him a devil worshiper.
It's just some weird thing that we've kind of grown out of. The pointed ears is apparently like you're a devil.
The issue is simply called The Batman Meets Dr. Death. And again, he's hanging out a window just peeking down at him in a piece of art that actually isn't a part of the issue at all. And it's not Bob Kane, actually, if you look at it. He's not Robert Kane, it's Bob Kane. It's with a big old
Bob Kane.
Bob Kane.
Bob. Is that Blackadder or no? Never mind.
That's a good point, actually. It's a weird setup where that table's either very tall or his chair broke. So he's like, you know, that table's like almost up to his...
It's tit high.
Almost his neck. It's tit high. I just thought the proportions so far, it's not even a quarter of the way into the first page, and the proportions are already pretty bad.
John used to work on Jakku, and he would go, proportions. Proportions. Do you know that Simon Pegg?
I did.
That's crazy.
It was weird, but you can't, like, you hear it over and over, and you can't hear it.
No, you can't.
But
it's like, hey, you want to be in a Star Wars movie? We're going to CGI you as some fat guy.
You'll get to be in it, and you'll get to experience some cool stuff. But no one's going to really know it's you.
No one's going to know you. Could I be like a stormtrooper? No, James Bond is already won.
No, that's already too much fun. You can't.
James Bond's already won that.
You can't do that.
No one
is
knows
really?
About Yeah, Daniel Craig is in there.
I forgot about that. But issue opens up, and we'll try to speed this along a little bit. Issue opens up with the Dead Sea Scrolls again, which I'm starting to warm up to a little bit. And it's basically just saying the Batman's becoming a prominent figure. People know that he tries to fight wrongdoers and is bringing justice wherever he can, which is kind of odd because he's killed a couple guys so far.
It's kind of like how I like how you like these little scrolls because it's kind of like how you want me to describe what the podcast is every issue.
It is. It's
you don't need it. It's completely pointless.
To be fair, it's only the second episode. I mean, heck, even other podcasts will say that, and they're like 100 episodes in.
100 issues.
100 issues in. But basically, Dr. Death identifies Batman as a threat, that if he's going to continue to extort money out of these rich people, and if he's going to keep doing all these illegal things, that he needs to stop Batman now before it becomes a bigger problem.
Batman the famous jewel thief?
Batman the famous jewel thief. And as soon as he's you know, thinking that and everything, he says,
Jabba, come here.
I thought it was Jabba.
Come here, protect my jewels.
I thought it was Jabba. And Jabba...
J-U-B-A-H. So I say Jabba, you say Jabba. Let's call the whole thing a stupid comic from the 30s and move on.
Kuna Matata?
Sure.
Okay. So we got Jabba, who is a super racist interpretation of an Indian guy. And, you know, times change and interpretations of what's racist, you know, come and go and move
around.
In
the first episode, but I talked about how society changes. And, you know, it is going to be a product of its time. It's still super racist.
It was super racist then, I think, actually.
He also is in, like, Dr. Death is just sitting there going, Jesus Christ. I need to call somebody in here to just give a whole bunch of exposition on who I am and what I do.
Pretty much.
Jabba should know.
Yep, he should know. Is it Jabba's first day? Is he the intern? Like, how is this working?
So Jabba's in his room and he gets this call. Jabba, come here, I want you. And he's like, I got to go, Salacious Crumb. And so he waddles in because he's a big fat fucker too.
He is. But he like you said, he comes in and Dr. Death immediately tells him what he should already know, that he's a rich, he knows all the stuff about pollen and plants, and he threatens death to these rich people if they don't pay up.
It's a huge word bubble.
It's a very huge word bubble.
If you haven't really noticed, these stories are kind of short and kind of shit.
They have to force a lot in relatively quickly because they, at this time, they're shared with, you know, two or three other stories.
Well, more than that, actually.
Yeah, right. But basically, he's saying the Batman is sure to notice our operation if we don't get rid of him. Let's start catching him in a trap. Let's take out a personal ad in the newspaper and totally draw Batman's attention. Bruce Wayne automatically opens up the newspaper the next day.
Picks it up and he just goes, well, I could look at the obituaries. Oh, look, I dropped that guy off a building. Shot that guy in the face.
He goes to the bits.
He's like, oh, the personal ads. I wonder what Craigslist is talking about.
Right? And he skips the one about pina coladas, and he goes right to the full page.
That is an awful song.
It is an awful song. Those people are so mean to each other.
Oh, you wanna cheat on each other? Well, I guess we should just get back together.
We're both terrible people? I guess we belong together.
Yes, we belong together.
And that basically it's a full page want ad for Batman. Literally the full page. The amount of money that they spent for this is astounding. Also, if you placed this, you would have had to pay for it. And that should have left a trail that would have led Batman.
Not necessarily.
Well, I guess they could use like a P.O. box or something.
Well, no, it was a public notice. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about newspapers in the 30s. But that could just be something that you are able to just put a free public notice in.
You know what? I will accept that.
I don't know.
I will accept that, but you're going to have to concede on this next point I'll make in a second. The notice says, Batman, if you go to the general post office and ask for a letter addressed to John Jones, which I didn't catch that until like the fifth time I read this issue, it's John Jones.
Are there Z's in it?
There's no Z's in it, but when he's in his human persona, it's spelled different, I think, isn't it?
Martian Manhunter for the not initiated nerds.
I wish he would come back a little bit better. The New 52 really screwed him.
Sadly, I don't remember that shit.
But it says, if you go to the post office and ask for a letter addressed to John Jones, you will find a message of vital importance. So Bruce Wayne kind of disguises himself a little bit.
No, he's just Bruce Wayne.
He's just Bruce Wayne, just not advertising himself as Bruce Wayne. And he's smoking.
There's so many people that could have just walked. He was smoking in the last panel that we read.
He was smoking in all the panels, let's be honest.
All these panels. But, like, he's so trusting.
He is. The fact that this could have been the trap right here. All they had to do was wait for a guy that asked for that letter, and they could have caught Batman, potentially. Or the cops could have been like, you know what? We know this is in the newspaper. We might be able to find out who Batman is. He's wanted for
he's
two murders.
He's a famous jewel thief.
And he's wanted for two murders. But no one's waiting for him. So either no one read the newspaper or no one gives a shit. So either Batman's not important or everyone's incompetent. I don't know if you want to call this poor writing or if it's just it's meant for kids and we're way overthinking
it.
Which we are.
That should be the tagline of the show. We overthink.
We totally overthink. So letter says, hey, we're going to meet you at, tonight. We're going to be in a certain apartment and we're going to try to murder somebody. Try to stop us. Don't bring the cops, FYI.
And then he didn't turn it over because if he turned it over, it probably said the person we're going to murder
is Bruce
Wayne. Is you.
I wanted to say Bruce Wayne is you also. But so Bruce Wayne returns home and he gets changed. And they give us a weird amount of exposition. It is half hour to change and a half hour to get to that penthouse.
Well,
I don't need to know how long it took Batman to change.
Obviously, these comics were written by Chekhov. So if you show some smoke bombs in the first panels, you're going to use them later on.
I'm okay because he goes through what's in his utility belt and what equipment he's going to bring. I'm okay with that because, I mean, it's, you know, having the gun.
None of the stuff is really, is like stuff that we've seen yet.
No. So
he's just had, like, what has he used? Like
a rope, and that's all we've really seen.
Oh, no, a fine silk rope.
And it's showing some gadgets. So it's really establishing that Batman, you know, doesn't really have superpowers or anything, but he does have gadgets. So I do appreciate that part. But
we're
at
not
the same
really
time,
at the age of superheroes right now, though.
Yeah, we're not. So it's trying to establish. Well, there's still like beats of
it's
strength
just
and all that,
that
magical
doing.
Stuff. Yeah,
he's got stupid suction cup hands.
But that I'm going back to that line of half hour to change, half hour to get to that penthouse. That's like if I wrote a comic book and just my mind that had to make sure that every little thing made sense and in a certain place. It's just unnecessary. Even I know that's unnecessary.
And then when he's climbing up, he's like, whoo, glad I went past Maine, so I cut off 5 minutes off my trip.
Right? So Batman parks his Bruce Wayne sedan over on the Ben lot. He puts all his gear on, and then he just lassos the roof, and then starts climbing up
through with the rope, and then it's like, okay, I better use suction cups on this bit. Just keep climbing, buddy.
Well, I mean, his rope only goes so far, but you think he'd start with suction cups at the very beginning? Because it's got to be hard to, like, get that suction once you're halfway up on a rope.
Hey, human fly here. Had to dye my underwear all night.
So Batman climbs up several stories.
Suction cupping when he used a rope to get up, like, halfway there.
Right, so, and they're implying that it's well over, like, 10 stories, I believe. So it's a huge distance. Like, never been done before. But I kind of like that. It's a hey, cool, I got cool gadgets, and they actually work.
It's kind of like how Superman used to jump instead of fly.
Yeah. So Batman gets up there. He puts his rope away in a safe place just so he has to swing off it and do some sweet flips. Gets ready to walk into this apartment. And two henchmen are hiding behind curtains. Like, it's a weird, poor game of hide and seek. And as soon as Batman gets in there...
Well, first they talk to each other. Like, should we shoot him? And he's like, no. Dr. Death knows about imminent domain loss. So we gotta make sure that he comes into the penthouse.
He has to look guilty for some reason.
But that's never explained why.
Once they kill him, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not like you're gonna... Oh, man, we're gonna go to jail if we kill him. It's not your fucking house.
As soon as he gets in there, the lights turn on, and they exclaim, put him up, Batman.
Yeah.
We gotcha. Put him up.
They're gonna shoot him. Anyways, yeah. That's what they... should we shoot him? No, we gotta wait till he gets inside, and then we can warn him so he can stop us.
So Batman tackles a small stone column and just...
A bust of pallet.
That just threw me off. A bust of pallet.
It's from the Raven.
Thank you. So he runs into this column, and he knocks one of the henchmen over, and he actually knocks the other one... off guard too, and he just starts
he punches them on the ground. Dicks off their body.
He is the way that he has done this a few times now. It seems like he just has a lot of rage built up into him because we don't know why he's Batman. But this would be maybe some world building if this wasn't, you know,
maybe his dad beat him or something.
That his fondest memory is his dad just taking the belt to him.
And so, anyways, he beats up these guys and is like, "So who sent you?"
They can't tell us. They'll kill us if we tell. I'll kill you if you don't.
And he totally will, too, because we've seen him do it a couple times.
Right? This isn't just putting the fear into us.
Like, later Batman will say this to scare him.
Yeah, but this isn't the case right now. Right now, a person reading this could easily believe that he's going to kill these guys. But never fear. Jabba the Hutt.
He goes, ho, 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 Solo. And all the lights turn on. And the curtain goes back.
And in unnecessary exposition, because he thinks he's going to kill the guy, and this is going to be a big thing as comics build up, is, good evening, Batman. Dr. Death sends his greetings. He names who wants to kill him. Jamba fires
a fucking BB.
It's a BB gun into the shoulder, takes Batman down, but luckily, like you mentioned, he has his glass gas pellets, smashes one on the ground, and according to the issue, the room becomes filled with a deadly gas. He's trying to kill three more people!
But he smacks him in the face with it, and he's fine later on, so...
Right? He jumps through the window, just a whole bunch of glass, so we're assuming he's, you know, cut up a little bit and stuff, in addition to the shot. Jumps off the roof again, not doing as many sick flips, but he has his rope.
He's still doing some flips.
He kind of just positions himself down the building. He gets to his car. He takes out his outfit for some reason. So he's half Batman, half Bruce Wayne in a car and in an abandoned lot right now. Patching himself up with a few cotton balls because that makes sense.
And then he's like, man, I better go to the doctor. My shoulder's starting to ache. Oh. He just climbed down a fucking building.
With a bullet in a shoulder. But no, but first, before he goes to his doctor, he talks to the Daily Globe. It's not the Gotham Gazette just yet. It's not even Gotham right now.
It was the Herald last time.
It was the Herald last time. You're right. Thank you. So he calls the newspaper and says, I want this to be inserted into your public notice column. I accept your challenge, Dr. Death, the Batman. So maybe he doesn't have to pay for this. I'll take back what I was saying before. But still getting a letter. Yeah. So he stops at his doctor. We're assuming super late at night. His doctor's just there at his office. No big deal. And he says, all right, Bruce, how did you shoot yourself in the shoulder when there's no powder marks on your flesh? And he just brushes it off. Like, I do funny things sometimes. I'll tell you about it later. Do I need to put you on suicide watch? Are you okay?
Here's $40. Shut the fuck up and don't worry about it.
It's the implication that if you're rich, you really don't have to worry about anything.
It's one of the reasons why later comics will have Alfred just be like a former field medic. He just does shit. Playing like, eh.
So they assume that that while Batman's still alive, they're going to proceed with their normal plans. They're going to kill another man because he refused to pay. Jabba has a pitcher. He's going to go downtown and he's going to blow this death powder in his face. Jabba's immune, which they, you know, in a nice big giant speech bubble again, blurt that out real quick. So we have that information as well for some reason. Luckily enough, Batman's driving downtown in, I assume, a different sedan.
He's as Bruce Wayne, though. He's
in a different car, so that's nice. Same color scheme, but I think they only had two colors back then. And he sees Jabba trailing a guy, and Bruce Wayne gets suspicious.
It's interesting that this guy that Jabba's trailing doesn't notice him. I mean, he's a giant worm, just kind of shaking along with somebody, just going, yeah!
If I'm walking down the street, and there's a giant, joke. Like, very racistly dressed Indian guy.
He's got a turban on and a cape.
I might not think that he's menacing, but I'm going to notice.
I'm going to notice him.
Yeah. As soon as Jabba does this, Bruce Wayne has a couple handkerchiefs. He stops the powder from reaching the man, and he covers his own mouth as well. So in the next panel, after he stops this gas, he says, I haven't had time for questions, but I do. I will see you later. I don't know why they're inserting French into this, but he does. And
he's a classy man about town.
He's a classy man about town. I like that. They're inserting that Bruce Wayne is a worldly person.
Or it's just Bob Kane being like, that's a fancy French word, you idiots.
Right. So Bruce Wayne trails Jabba to this house. It looks like a nice little house. It doesn't look like a castle. It's multiple stories, and it does have like a stone wall. So Batman later on comes out and climbs the wall, goes out a window, and waits. He cuts out the window with his Batman glass cutter, patent pending. And he cuts out a weird square. I noticed, like, he doesn't just cut out where the lock would be. He just cuts out like a weird like angled square.
Well, he's pissed at Dr. Death, so he's like, "Fuck your window."
You ain't gonna repair this. Fuck you. And he slowly comes into a room where Jabba and Dr. Death are working their laboratory. And as soon as Batman gets a chance, he lassos Jabba and tries to take him down really quick.
Around the neck, so...
He's trying to kill him. With enough force, you could have killed him.
You could have killed him.
So even
if
he's not...
I think we count that as a death, but that could very easily...
At the very least, if this is some level of possible manslaughter if he did die.
Yeah.
Yeah. But while he's trying to get him, Dr. Death is starting to get away. So he has his trap door.
Basically what happens is, we're going to skip over this because it's a Scooby chase.
It is.
He goes through a trap door and he's like, you're never going to catch me, you fool.
Right.
And though he goes back to the laboratory that they were just in.
Well, I want to break this down just real quick. The Batman pursues Dr. Death relentlessly. Dr. Death is a wormy, devil-looking, bald guy that works with pollen. Bruce Wayne is supposed to be this, you know, healthy detective, very strong person. I mean, all over the place, they're implying that he's very strong and capable, but he can't chase down this guy. So apparently, he's got some kind of edge on Batman somehow, which
Dr.
is really
weird. Dr. Death
has
a good core.
So Dr. Death is, you know, watch it. If you do anything, we're all going to blow up. And Batman's like, well, fuck it. I don't have much to live for. Throws a fire extinguisher at him. It drops. Fire starts spreading everywhere. And Dr. Death is just laughing to himself because he's basically gone crazy. And Batman's just like, you are the fool. He has gone mad. So he's talking to him. And then he's talking in third person in the same breath. It's kind of a weird...
Yeah.
It's a weird dialogue choice. But then, like, he's talking to himself at this point. He's outside and the whole building's burning. He's like... Death to Dr. Death. Man, that'd be so cool if someone was here to listen to that.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, that would have been great. It would have been great, like a fitting end to his kind and everything. So there's a setup of lines and all that. So it's just a weird thing, but I had some kind of fun with this. I mean, Jabba's racist.
Yeah, it was a little better than the last issue was. It still wasn't like... Batman's very, like, stupid, trusting, and lucky. He just kind of blunders in. Oh, there's that guy that tried to kill me yesterday.
Right? Like, it's called Detective Comics.
Or that I killed him. He doesn't do a lot of detecting in any of this stuff.
It's like, it's happenstance.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to describe that. Like, I've done more research, like, on Google to find out if somebody still, you know, works at the same company as me or anything. Like, I automatically do more research about, like, someone to fix my gutters than Batman has done to find actual criminals or anything. But it's good. I mean, it's not meant for me now. It's meant for, like, kids and possibly adults, you know, almost 80 years ago. So it's okay. Overall, what are the tropes or the things that they've done that you really like? And what are the things that you can't wait to be over, like, once we get out of the 40s? And
I'm kind of looking forward to being out of the 40s as it is. I kind of like having, like, the crazy villains, which the crazy bit of it won't come until the 80s and 90s, but still, I like kind of the obsessive compulsive villains and
stuff. They're almost, like, plausible crazy to certain degrees.
Well, like, we'll get into it, but, like, Riddler is just kind of compulsive. Two-Face has, like, this mental problem where he just has to be good and evil depending on what a coin does. And Joker, like, isn't crazy until, like, the 70s.
He's just weird.
He's just, like, a clown. A clown that commits, like, clown-based crimes.
Right.
Which I don't know if we'll touch into a lot of that. But I'm kind of looking forward to the getting rid of all the Frenchies. And kind of getting into more, like, exciting villains.
Right. I it makes sense to do it now, because it's building up this... I mean, intentional or not.
Well, no, they're not going to do that. The crazy villains to begin with. It's just, right. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I like the, at least the villains for a brief amount of time, the way they are, because it builds up this whole Batman's kind of working his way up to being a very capable person. Like, he didn't start out amazing off the bat necessarily. He started off somewhat prepared. I didn't even do that on purpose. He's not trying to... It's a good groundwork. Like, it shows a little bit of background that he wasn't always, you know,
super great. One of the things that, like, a lot of people's like, man, Batman was so grim in the beginning. Do you really think he is?
No.
He doesn't really... I mean, he kills...
I see him being a little flat in terms of personality. Maybe a little sadistic in terms of the way he's kind of torturing people.
Yeah, but he's not soft.
But he doesn't necessarily, like, feel bad about it. He's not brooding. Really?
No.
He's, you know, hey, Gordon, can I see a dead body with you? And stuff like that.
He's, when he says stuff, he's a little quippy to the guys. And it's not all like...
That's the thing that I'm kind of looking forward to more and more.
When he kind of gets a little more personal.
When he gets a little more quippy. I know it's going to go away after a while, especially like 70s, 80s
It
and
depends
stuff,
on who's really writing it.
I do kind of like this writing a little bit more than...
Personally, I always prefer when Batman's a little sarcastic.
I do too.
Dennis O'Neill was really good at, like, kind of a sarcastic Batman, so it's like Grant Morrison, just to do somebody that's a little more modern with it.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that too. But I think that that's a good place to stop for today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about Detective Comics 30 and 31. Dr. Death in the Sky with Diamonds is what I want to call that, because he may come back. And we're also going to talk about...
Yeah, he may come back.
I want to have fun with this somehow. Just let me have
okay.
this.
Okay, this let me is yours. This.
And then and Batman Inc. We're totally going to Paris, which is going to be actually, Paris. Which is going to be really fun. It's going to be great.
Freeze frame. Dun 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 dun
dun dun. It's just Batman in a bunch of travel clothes, like in a montage, just like his different Paris outfits. He has a little beret.
He puts on a beret, and Alfred just shakes his head. He puts, like, a baguette, and Alfred's like, thumbs up.
I want him to be with Gordon. Like, those are the two people approving of what he wears. And then if readers want to talk about, hopefully they want to talk about current or past episodes, they can find us on Twitter. We are at SACBatPod. You can also use the hashtag SACBatPod to talk about us or things in general as well. And also, as we mentioned before, you can email us at sac.alfred@gmail.com. You can find episodes of our show on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. They're in a weird branding transitional phase, so I'm not quite sure what that's turning into. You can visit our website in the description listed below. We're still working on that at the time of this recording. We're working on other podcast services too, but that's the main one. We'll probably go on Google Play and maybe SoundCloud and a few other ones. I know there's a whole bunch of different apps that people can use, so we'll try to be diverse in that.
Look, if you got a Zune, you're going to be able to play our podcast.
And with that, I have been John Pfeiffer.
I'm Chris Winia.
And we'll see you next episode.
You know what we should do for our intro? Keep recording. We should do like Michael Caine, Master Wayne, to the Batport. Master Wayne, get to the Batport. That's us. Master Wayne, I need a glass of water.